Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. As I heard the ringing of that bell, I was reminded of what a blessing it is to live in a time and in a country where we can study the Bible together over the radio. I hope you enjoy being a student of this Bible school, and I hope you enjoy the emphasis we place on studying the Word of God. We're studying a Sunday school lesson at this time about Christians being called to be missionaries. It was a Sunday school lesson written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday of November the 25th, 1923. And the text we're looking at is Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. And we'll be continuing with that study in this particular class. While you're getting your Bible and turning there, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Let me read to you again the text that we are studying at this time in this particular lesson. It is found in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, and I'm reading from the American Standard Version of 1901. It says, "They therefore, when they were come together, asked him, saying, Lord, dost thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father hath set within his own authority, but ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Those disciples were wondering about the establishment of the kingdom. And you sometime wonder, had they not been listening to Jesus as he has been teaching those apostles all of this time, and why would they ask that? There's some things they needed to realize and to know. The kingdom could not have been set up until the king was crowned in heaven, and this took place after the ascension of Christ. We read in Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 through 11, "Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, yea, the death of the cross. Wherefore God also highly exalted him, and gave unto him a name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things on earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father." We read also in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, "But we behold him who hath been made a little lower than the angels, even Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God he should taste death for every man." This was done. And then when Jesus ascended into heaven and took his throne at the right hand of God, his first administrative act was to send the Holy Spirit upon the apostles on the following Pentecost. And that's what we read about in Acts chapter 2. "And hence, in that manner, in this spiritual manner, fulfilling those old prophecies, the kingdom had been restored to Israel, and Jesus is the King." Christians today are the true Israel of God. We read in Galatians 6, verses 15 and 16, "For neither is circumcision anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as shall walk by this rule, peace be unto them, and mercy upon the Israel of God." He is talking there about the members of his church as the Israel of God? Fleshly Israel is not today the true spiritual Israel. The Israel of God embraces all Gentiles, as well as all Jews who are Christians. We can see this by several passages. Romans chapter 9 and verse 6. But it is not as though the word of God hath come to naught, for they are not all Israel that are of Israel. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 7. Know ye therefore that they that are of faith, the same are the sons of Abraham. Galatians chapter 3 verses 28 and 29. There can be neither Jew nor Greek. There can be neither bond nor free. There can be no male and female. For you are all one man in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. And Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3. For we are the circumcision, who worship by the Spirit of God, and glory in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. These today have their citizenship in heaven, and constitute the kingdom of Israel. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. It cannot be too well impressed that Christians, both Jews and Gentiles, are now the Israel of God. The New Testament shows very clearly and strongly that Israel, according to the flesh, is not the Israel of God. God's promises, which have been fulfilled and which are yet to be fulfilled in the Israel of God, must not be applied to Israel in the flesh. Jesus said in our text, "It is not for you to know the times nor the seasons, which the Father hath set in his own authority." The times mean times in general, and seasons mean a definite limited portion of time with the added notion of suitableness. According to Thayer, this means that God would bring in the reign of Jesus when it pleased him and when men were ready for it. Our present condition of heart and life concerns us more than times or seasons which the Father hath set within his own authority. For instance, the time of the second coming of Christ. We read in verse 8 of Acts chapter 1, "But ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." While it was not necessary for them to know the times and the seasons, it was necessary for them to receive power to perform the work committed to them in the beginning and progress of this kingdom. They would receive this power when the Holy Spirit should come upon them and should clothe them with power from on high. Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. Their present duty was to obey him and tarry in Jerusalem. It is necessary to wait in obedience to God as it is to go. When the Spirit came, they knew the kingdom had been restored, and ever afterwards they understood its nature and power. This power of the Spirit brought all things that Jesus had said to their remembrance, and guided them into all the truth, taught them, revealed the things of God to them, and enabled them to speak with tongues the wonderful works of God. It qualified them as witnesses of the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, and fully equipped them for their work. Jerusalem was the place to begin this work, and the time was when the Spirit came. The order given here by Jesus, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth, was observed and is significant. Jerusalem was the capital and center of the Jewish nation. Also, Jesus was crucified there. Jerusalem was the place foretold by the prophets, as said by Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 2, and also by Micah in Micah chapter 4. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of Jehovah from Jerusalem. They were not to remain always at Jerusalem, but were to begin there. Every church should work out from itself, as did the church at Jerusalem. And thus, in their ever-widening circle, the world must be evangelized. We're coming to the end of this Sunday school lesson. And quite often at the end, on the pages of my little Sunday school book, there's a little note like a poem or a saying. And here's a little poem, the author of which is not given. It is entitled, The Bright Side. Better to hope through the clouds hang low, and to keep the eyes still lifted, for the sweet blue sky will soon peep through when the ominous clouds are rifted. Better to weave in the web of life a bright and golden filling, and to do God's will with a ready heart and hands that are swift and willing, than to snap the delicate silver threads of curious lives asunder, and then blame heaven for the tangled ends, and sit to grieve and wonder. Now that ends that Sunday school lesson, but here is another. The title of it is, The Power of the Early Church. It was a Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam wrote for the Sunday schools of December the 2nd, 1923. The lesson text for this is Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, and then Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 42. Allow me to read that text at this time. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was now come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound as of the rushing of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them tongues parting asunder like as a fire, and it set on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 37 and going through 42. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, Repent ye, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For to you is the promise, and to our children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call unto him. And with many other words did he testify and exhort them, saying, Save yourselves from this crooked generation. Then they that received his word were baptized, and there were added to them in that day about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. The golden text for this Sunday school lesson is found in Acts chapter 2 and verse 21. And it shall be that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The devotional reading is found in the book of Joel. Joel 2, beginning in verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out of my Spirit. And I will show wonders in heaven and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of Jehovah cometh. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Jehovah shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion in Jerusalem there shall be those that escape, as Jehovah hath said, among the remnant of those whom Jehovah doth call.